So who loves movies and who loves food and who loves cocktails? Well, do we have a show for you? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are going to talk about the movies and dinner and drinks that are inspired by the movies. And we are going to welcome your own suggestions. Maybe you have a favorite classic movie and there's something that you would eat and drink while you're watching this movie. Let us know, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are going to talk with the co-authors of the brand new book, Movie Night Menus, Dinner and Drink Recipes Inspired by Films We Love. Let me welcome our guests. Andre Darlington is a drinks, food, and travel writer based in Madison. He is a longtime contributor to the weekly Isthmus. And Tanaya Darlington is a novelist, poet, food writer, and cheese expert in Philadelphia. She blogs under the name Madame Fromage and teaches writing at St. Joseph's University. And they are co-authors of The New Cocktail Hour. They blog at www.withthedarlingtons.com. They also have a cocktail column in Organic Life magazine. And if that's not enough, they co-authored the book Turner Classic Movies, Movie Night Menus, Dinner and Drink Recipes Inspired by the Films We Love. Okay, now that the show's almost over, good morning, Tanaya, and good morning, Andre.
Good morning. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks a lot for being with us. So, I mean, you love food and drink. I know that from your previous work. What led you to your interest in pairing food and drink with movies?
It's something that we have a long history of sort of doing together. We grew up on movies and just really enjoy entertaining each other and other people. And we think it's a great way to get together with friends and have a good time.
Also, as we were working on our last book, The New Cocktail Hour, we kept coming across cocktails that had these movie affiliations, like Blood and Sand, which is a very early Douglas Fairbanks movie. Then there's even a Douglas Fairbanks cocktail and a Mary Pickford cocktail. They were a star couple in Hollywood. So we just started to develop this curiosity behind these early celebrity drinks, and that sent us to the couch with our cocktail glasses to start watching movies.
Yeah. Well, it's great. It really is, because there's, you know, when you think about a dinner and a movie, you can have dinner and drinks and a movie in your own living room. So why not?
That's right.
Before we start going into some of your favorite movies and what you were inspired to make with them, Andre, what tips should people keep in mind to shake and stir like a star?
So traditionally, you do want to, you know, you can sort of stir in whatever you want, a large pint glass. You could invest in a cocktail glass and a spoon, although a chopstick works as well in a pinch. You want to shake drinks that have like components or are all liquor, and you want to shake drinks that have anything you need to emulsify, like any juices or egg whites, or any if there's anything that's thicker in the cocktail. So if you think of a martini, it's only vermouth and a base spirit. You'll want to stir that drink.
Any tips to add to Tanaya?
Well, one thing I learned from Andre when we were starting the New Cocktail Hour, since he was really the kind of the cocktail pioneer in the family, was about always using fresh ice. So if you have ice that's been sitting around in your freezer for a couple of weeks, it can pick up off flavors. So if you're really wanting to make a beautiful drink and you're going to use high quality spirits and squeeze all your juices anyway, just don't forget to make some fresh ice the night before so that as it melts, you know, it tastes pure.
We are talking with Andre and Tanaya Darlington. They are co-authors of Movie Night Menus, Dinner and Drink Recipes Inspired by Films We Love. And we wonder if you have a favorite classic movie or a movie that you love and something that you could think of or maybe something that you already do enjoy along with it. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm going to play a clip from the movie The Thin Man. This is a cocktail preparation advice from Nick Charles in The Thin Man. And let's take a listen to this clip from this film from the 1930s.
The important thing is the rhythm. Always have rhythm in your shaking. Now in Manhattan, you shake to foxtrot. A Bronx to two-step time. The dry martini, you always shake to waltz time.
Do you go that far, Andre?
Yeah. We just watched The Thin Man last night. It's such a great, great movie. It's such a great scene. You know, current cocktail theory has it that you stir Manhattans these days so you don't get the shivs of ice and you get a slightly better texture to the drink. But that Nick and Nora is certainly probably the great cocktail movie in the canon.
Yeah. And so just talk about why you picked the dry martini as the cocktail to pair with The Thin Man.
Yeah, the dry martini shows up in the movie quite often. If you've seen the movie, you know that there's drinking pretty much every scene. There's a great scene where Nora comes in to find her husband, Charles, and he's already... six martinis in, so she asks the waiter how many martinis he's had and catches up with him. And then it appears again in the final scene where they have their dinner party and the waiter is walking behind everyone's chair and basically forcing them to have a dry martini. It is sort of the emblematic drink. It's probably the emblematic American cocktail overall, but certainly the emblematic drink from that movie.
And what makes the martini dry? Is it lots of vermouth, or what exactly makes it dry?
Yeah, a dry martini is actually a martini that has very little vermouth in it. So A martini, originally the martini would have been consumed quite wet, as they called it, which would have been almost half vermouth, half gin. Vermouth was very exciting when it first came to the American shores. It was an exotic French, liquor, and... So it became drier over time until there was this idea that, you know, you just kind of wanted to wave the vermouth over the glass, and that was your martini.
Yeah. And then what kind of food am I supposed to eat with, or what food was inspired by The Thin Man, Tanaya?
We did whitefish toasts just because we wanted finger food. This is a film where you see a lot of glamorous, entertaining scenes. I don't know that you actually see anybody ever eating anything, but there's waiters carrying, just little canapes and things like that. So we imagine this being a film where you invite people over, you maybe everybody brings a favorite hors d'oeuvre, you whip up some dry martinis, and you can do this in a pitcher, as you see this done in the film. Bring out your best glasses. Of course, you might want to chill them so they're nice and cold, and then sit back, relax, and watch. It's truly an amusing film. There's just so much wit to it, but it's also one in which you really see 30s entertaining, both as the characters go to restaurants and clubs, but also host parties, and then end up having an elaborate dinner at the very end where there is so much glassware on the table, Joy, that, you know, you can't even imagine that anyone could reach in to pull out a fork.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about another film loaded with beverages, Female. Tanaya.
Oh, yeah. Talk about one of my favorites.
Why did you pick that film?
Such a surprise, Joy. You know, we really watched these four films in chronological order. We started by watching silent movies, and then we ended up not including any silent movies in the book. But Female was one of those films that was such a surprise to me, because you hear the title and you think, okay, I don't know, I imagined that it was going to be some sort of a body sort of romance. In fact, it's the story of a young woman. It's Ruth Chatterton is the actress, who runs an automotive empire all by herself, and she's determined to run her company the way any man would. And so she's, you know, up in the morning drinking coffee, and she's running around, and she has a, you know, all of these male secretaries who are working for her, and she is also quite, I guess, the opposite of a ladies' man. She's like I don't even know how you'd say it, but she loves to cherry pick some of her workers off the line and then bring them home to her house to seduce them with vodka. Sitting on the floor having dinner and with an organist playing in the background. And so she's this character unlike any character I'd ever seen on the screen before. And I certainly didn't expect it to come out of the 1930s because she's fierce.
I'm going to drink a vodka cocktail with
this? You're going to drink a vodka tonic. And of course, then because we wanted to kind of pull vodka into everything, we did a kind of a boozy red pepper sauce. It's a version of like a vodka tomato sauce, but we use more roasted red pepper than tomato. And we served that with some boozy olives, of course, which you bake in the oven with some little gin and some lemon peel. And it's a very quick meal to make. It's bow tie pasta, since she sort of is, you know, living in a man's world and sort of playing the man's game. Anyway, it's just a really fun film. If you haven't seen it and you love classic film, it's arresting. And the fashion and the interiors are just extraordinary.
I have not, and I'm going to make a point of seeing a female. And this is a great time of year, too. A lot of people off. You can watch movies with the fam, and we'll talk about some of those movies you might want to watch even, you know, this week while a lot of you are off work. And we will talk about your favorite, one of your favorite movies, and foods that you would pair, foods and drinks that you would pair with your favorite movies. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Talking with Andre and Tania Darlington. They are the co-authors of the new book, Movie Night Menus, Dinner and Drink Recipes Inspired by Films We Love. We are talking about classic movies and food and drink inspired by them. This, of course, is The Entertainer. It's the theme song for the movie The Sting, which is one of the movies included in Movie Night Menus, Dinner and Drink Recipes Inspired by Films We Love. We are talking with both authors, the co-authors of this book, Andre Darlington and Tania Darlington. And I was happy to see that the Old Fashioned was the beverage inspired by the Sting, Old Fashioned. Andre, why that?
Well, The Sting is such a fantastic movie with, you know, really one of the, not the first movie, but one of the great movies that has a real twisting plot to it. It's Robert Redford, Paul Newman, and it's really centers on the Chicago mob scene. And we thought that you know, there's a lot of history with you know, obviously bars in Chicago, but also in Wisconsin with Al Capone and the mob. And we thought that the Old Fashioned was sort of the fitting drink that these characters probably would have known and imbibed happily.
And, of course, a deep dish pizza because it's Chicago, right?
That's right. And we do it in a skillet. It's a fantastic, it's an easy recipe, and it's fantastic. And I actually worked on that one.
Yeah. Then the Grand Hotel is also one of the movies in the book, a 1932 film. And you suggest a flip for the drink pairing. Tania, what's a flip?
Flip always has an egg in it. And this particular drink, as I recall, tastes a lot like a creamsicle, so it can be a nice dessert sort of drink. Grand Hotel was also a film I was not familiar with, but it starred some great female leads who I'd always heard of, Joan Crawford and Greta Garbo, and they're absolutely sensational in this movie. And it's also a movie that it's just novel-like in scope, and you can get completely lost in it. So a flip, which would have been definitely a popular drink of that era, and is a little bit like, you know, kind of a, like I said, creamsicle or orange Julius in taste, is a really fun kind of retro drink to throw back with it.
And so you put an egg in a cocktail. Talk a little bit more. Why would you put an egg in a cocktail? What does that add?
Oh, it adds just this beautiful body, is the best way to put it, Joy. It makes for a really creamy, rich cocktail. To make a good flip, you actually shake all of the ingredients in a shaker without ice the first time to really help emulsify the egg. Then you add ice to the shaker. So you open it up, you add some ice, and then you give it another good shake. It could be a good party trick because, you know, it's one of those drinks you could pass around the shaker and let different people shake, because you really have to shake it well in order to get the egg to integrate. But when you pour it, it just looks feathery. It looks like a feather boa coming out of the shaker, and it's ethereal.
We have some callers. Let's go to Colin in Dubuque, Iowa first. Hi, Colin.
Hello, Joy. Good morning and happy holidays to you and your guests.
You too.
I just wanted to mention, I don't know if it's quite a classic yet, but I'd call it a cult favorite or whatever, The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
Of course.
And the main character, Jeff Bridges. It's also got John Goodman, Steve Buscemi. Great movies. Great the first time you watch it, great the 50th time you watch it. But his main drink is the white Russian, and I would love to hear your guest describe how to make the perfect one. And then the only reference to food in the movie is, let's go to the dang In-N-Out Burger. Maybe they have better choices of food pairing.
Oh, how great. And I think that's a classic, isn't it? Anyway, The Big Lebowski and a white Russian. How do you make the perfect white Russian? Who wants to take that?
Well, the Big Lebowski was outside of our time frame in the book. We only went up to the early 30s. But that is probably early 80s. That is probably one of the great drink identified characters in all of cinema history. I would say the perfect white Russian, it's important to probably use a glass that's not that clean and to stir it with your finger, as he does in the movie. A perfect white Russian, for people that don't know the recipe, is vodka, Kahlua, and cream. It's a very, very simple drink, and you can see him pouring. I'm not sure off the top of my head how many times he has a white Russian in the movie, but probably about four times in the movie, with a couple particularly famous scenes where he just sort of helps himself. He goes over to somebody's house and helps himself and stirs it with his finger, if I recall.
So any food other than an In-N-Out Burger that you might think would be good to be paired with the Big Lebowski?
Anything you can find at a bowling alley.
Why not?
I was going to say, Joy, you know, using some good Wisconsin dairy, like a good Wisconsin half and half, would make it extra lush.
Oh, yeah. You know, when Brianne Shasso, my producer, showed me this book without looking in it, I said, boy, I bet you the Casablanca has to be in there. And, let me play the clip that I thought of immediately when we thought of Casablanca.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
I love it. So I assumed that there would be a gin based drink, and then I read that there's a French 75. I am so out of it. I'd never heard of a French 75. It does have gin in it, though, doesn't it, Tanaya?
Yes, it does.
So how do we make it?
It's gin. We like to use Plymouth gin, which is just a really clean tasting gin. So it's not so juniper forward that it, you know, stands out from the drink. It's gin, a little bit of simple syrup, which is equal parts water and sugar, lemon, and a splash of champagne. So it's gin, lemon, and champagne, essentially. It's bright, it's effervescent, it's great with food. And this is one of my all-time favorite drinks. If you go to a nice bar, order French 75, you'll never be the same. And it's so much fun to see that a cocktail, which is named after a World War I artillery cannon, up here in Casablanca.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to for sure try that.
Yeah.
And then remind me, Andre, the food that I should have with Casablanca.
Casablanca, we did a really simple eggplant tagine. Basically, you cut up all the ingredients and roast it and put it over couscous.
We are talking with Andre and Tanaya Darlington, and we're going to try to work out those the little audio feedback that we're hearing and take your calls with your questions. Maybe you have some favorite classic movies that you want to talk about, and Tanaya and Andre can maybe give you an on-the-spot suggestion of something you might want to have with it. Or maybe you already do make your own meals and cocktails inspired by your favorite movies. Tell us about it. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, as you've heard, we've talked about food and drink inspired by Casablanca and by The Sting. And we talked about The Thin Man and Grand Hotel, Female. Maybe you have another. And The Big Lebowski. A caller brought up The Big Lebowski. What about you? Christina in Glenwood City is with us. Hi, Christina.
Hi there. Thank you. I had the most wonderful time with my 20-year-old nephew, Matt, who visited me last year for about a month. He introduced me to the Game of Thrones. And the author of the books, George Martin's, he writes beautifully about food. And it turns out there is a cookbook entitled A Feast of Fire and Ice. So I would decorate a 6-foot table with the clay and the silver and the rustic period decor. And then I would prepare these meals, and we would watch the movies together. And it was just so enjoyable. We'd have mulled wine, chickpeas. We'd have breakfast on the wall, which included ham steak and eggs and rustic bread. And it was all prepared the way they would have back then. So it's just a lovely way to share good food and conversation.
Very nice. I'm sorry, Andre, a reaction?
I think that's fantastic. I think a lot of these shows are inspiring. They're great ways to get together with people, and anything that encourages people getting together and having good conversation about a movie is great. Fantastic.
Yeah. Anything to add, Tanaya?
I would just say that sounds like a lot of fun, and one of the things that we were excited about this project was that people are often familiar with classic films, but we're trying to bring a whole layer of interaction so that people who want to rewatch it and experience a film in a new way, just like your caller described, can. So we love to entertain, we love film, and it was the first time that we really brought it together in a way where you have a pairing that truly matches. And I think that just really enhances the experience. So I loved hearing your caller's story.
Yeah. You know, I know that the book just launched, and very happy to have you on with us this morning. You will, though, or tell us what's going to happen on the Turner Classic Movie Channel on January 9th, are you going to have some movies and the cocktail and dinner pairings focused on that day?
Yeah, on January 9th, the Turner Classic Movie is going to do 5 films, starting at primetime, which for the Midwest, I think is 6 or 7 o'clock at night. I think they are running Female, they're running Stagecoach, of course, The Thin Man, Some Like It Hot, throughout that evening, and there will be, I believe, advertising the book, and then Tanaya and I are going to be taking over Turner Classic Movies' Twitter feed, so you can interact with us, ask questions, tell jokes.
We are talking about classic movies. We are talking with Andre and Tania Darlington, co-authors of Movie Night Menus, dinner and drink recipes inspired by films we love. And we are welcoming your input. We're welcoming your favorite films. We're welcoming food and drink that have been inspired by film for you. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, since it is the holiday season, I know that you have some movies in here that at least have some holiday scenes in them, and suggest that we might want to watch them during the holiday season. Let's talk about The Apartment first, and more specifically, the Tom and Jerry. Isn't that what you're recommending that we have with The Apartment?
Yeah, I was hoping you were going to mention that, because that's one of my favorite films in the book. So that movie is about a guy who works for an ad agency, and he has this apartment, and the executives above him keep borrowing the key so they can have trysts with their girlfriends there in the evenings. And so through the holiday season, he's providing them, you know, things to eat and drink, and he's moving up the ladder at work by doing this exchange. Anyway, there's just some wonderful scenes in there, and one of them is that I think he says, "I have some Tom and Jerry's in the fridge," to one of the executives. And, of course, we have such associations with the Tom and Jerry in the state of Wisconsin, so that scent is rustling around for a good recipe, and it's a cool recipe because it's a little bit like making a dessert. It's essentially a custard to which you add spirits, and you know drink it in a mug practically with a spoon because it's so thick. That movie also has, I think, it has a number of drinks in there, maybe also a rum drink. I know that's one of the other recipes we have in the book for that film. But just a great, great movie. And interestingly enough, that film opens with the main character, played by Jack Lemmon, watching Grand Hotel, which is another movie. Oh. And he's eating a TV dinner.
No.
Yeah. So we just howled with laughter as that film opened, because, of course, we'd seen The Apartment before, but it's so different when you watch just looking for food. And, you know, so our first reaction was, oh, my gosh, he's eating a TV dinner? Really? How funny, you know, out of, like, a metal tray. And then you see him, you know, turn to the TV, and sure enough, he's watching Grand Hotel. So if you're doing a double feature, Joy, you know, that could be a really fun pairing.
It, absolutely.
In The Apartment.
That's hilarious. What a coincidence. And Andre, what do I need for The Perfect Tom and Jerry?
The Perfect Tom and Jerry, you can base it off of rum, and then it's egg. It can be a little, it's great to not make out of a mix.
Yeah, it's kind of a tough one. But, you know, I remember my dad, and I've told this story before, but it is funny that he was an expert Tom and Jerry maker, and he was a bartender in northern Wisconsin back when he was very young, before I was around. And he would make them on Christmas Eve, and the family would partake. The older family members would partake. I was still a tween, I think, and had my first sip of a Tom and Jerry, and Boy, I was not a fan.
Really? It is kind of like a hot eggnog.
Yes. but I should try it again as an adult, because it's been a long time. Kind of turned me off right there. But
you separate the eggs first and do make it like a batter with it, and then you put the booze into the batter.
Yeah. Let me see. We have callers. Let's go to Mary in Pewaukee now. Hi, Mary.
Well, good morning, and Happy New Year to everyone. This is a fun subject, and I don't think anybody mentioned Shirley Temple. You could the Shirley Temple cocktail and watch Heidi would be a nice Shirley Temple movie.
Nice.
I loved her as a child actor. She kind of changed as she got a little bit older. And that would be something. I would really love to see Heidi again.
Oh, it was. Wait a minute. Was Shirley Temple in Heidi?
I guess
with the goats. on the hillside in Austria or Germany.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the movie. I guess I didn't think it was a Shirley Temple movie, but I get the, maybe it was. Well, in any case, though, you can have non-alcoholic cocktails, too, if you want.
Right.
Yeah. Or you could drop a little vodka into the Shirley Temple. It's called a Dirty Shirley, if you want to make it a cocktail.
That's what it's called. I didn't know that. Speaking of New Year's, it's rapidly approaching. Let's talk about a movie with a cocktail that has champagne. We did talk about the French 75 in Casablanca, which has gin and champagne, and I've got to try that. Tell us, Tanaya, about the champagne cocktail which you suggest for the movie Moonstruck.
Right. Cher is in that film, and I had seen it years and years ago when it came out in the 80s, and I had forgotten when I rewatched it with Andre how many incredible food scenes there are in this film. And I think one of the first cocktails you see quite a bit of drinking in this film as well. Cher and her father toast her marriage one evening. She comes home from a restaurant she's just been proposed to, and they make a champagne cocktail at the dining room table. And it's simply two champagne flutes. You drop a sugar cube into each one. You can add a few drops of bitters under the sugar cube, like Angostura bitters or orange bitters, just to give it a little flavor. And then you just top it off with champagne. And the sugar cube makes the champagne kind of electrified, extra bubbly, and the bubbles just zoom up from the bottom of the glass. So it's very, very festive. It's perfect for New Year's. And that's a really fun film to rewatch. One of my favorite parts is that Cher does the bookkeeping for her aunt and uncle who have a cheese and meat shop. This is in Brooklyn. And so there are just these great scenes of her hanging out at this gourmet specialty shop. So you could, have all kinds of antipasti, or you could do what we do in the book and make Toad in the Hole. Maybe Andre wants to talk about Toad.
Yeah, Toad in the Hole.
Toad in the Hole is the classic where you take an egg, you hollow out a little piece of toast, and you drop an egg in there. It's something that kids love, but adults as well.
Yeah, you fry it up and...
Yeah, that's interesting. I thought when I was thinking of Moonstruck, I was thinking of the Dean Martin song "That's Amore." And
yes, there's a great scene at an Italian restaurant in Moonstruck. So you could also, have a wonderful pasta dinner.
No, very good. We are talking with Tanaya and Andre Darlington. They are food and drink experts. They are the co-authors of Movie Night Menus, dinner and drink recipes inspired by films we love. And by the way, Brianne Chasso, my producer, did look it up, and I apologize. I just didn't know that Heidi was a Shirley Temple movie. I remember watching Heidi, but I didn't know that Shirley Temple was the star of the movie. Anyway, what are some of your favorite classic movies, and what would you pair with the movie when it comes to food and drink? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network.
Let's go to
We are going to the movies with our guests, Tanaya and Andre Darlington, and we are having some food and drink along with these classic movies. We're welcoming your questions for them. We're welcoming some of your favorite classic movies, and maybe you would like a suggestion of something to eat and drink along with that, watching that movie, or maybe you've been inspired yourself to come up with a movie night menu. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let's see. We have Anne in Monona with us now. Hi, Anne.
Hi. Well, this is, I don't know whether anybody will remember, but Five Easy Pieces. I think it was made in the early 70s. And Jack Nicholson, I think it was probably his best effort, or at least in my opinion, a brilliant musician who just tosses his talent away and has some major family problems. And there's a scene in that movie in which they pick up Cher, who's a crazy hitchhiker. They're sitting in a diner, and Jack Nicholson's character orders, I think, a tuna fish salad sandwich or something, and then he starts making all these substitutions. So what he ends up with is nothing like a tuna fish sandwich. And I guess at diners you get either coffee or a Coke or something like that. So I thought for lazy cooks, people who'd rather just watch than eat, maybe eat anything horribly edible, that a tuna fish salad sandwich, which you can substitute anything you want in, and maybe rum and Coke for an easy cocktail would be just...
That is hilarious. Actually, I do kind of remember that scene. Did he just get toast, I think, or something in the end?
Yeah, I think he says something like, you know, I want a chicken salad sandwich, but hold the chicken salad, the lettuce, the mayo, and the butter. So then the waitress says, okay, I guess you want a chicken salad with no chicken salad, a toast, and no butter, no mayo, no lettuce.
Very good. Very good.
A great food scene. That's a fun scene. Thanks for remembering that.
Yeah, that was good. Let's go next to Jim in Milwaukee. Hi, Jim.
Good morning. I have two films that I'd like the guests to create a menu for. The first is Federico Fellini's Souvenir to Himself, Amacord, 1974 film. And then at this time of year, I think we need some laughs. And I think the greatest film of all time was... The Marx Brothers, Night at the Opera. I suppose you could do a corned beef with a Night at the Opera, but I'd like some other suggestions.
That's what I was thinking of doing with Night at the Opera. Amarcord is probably was the Northern Italian, so I would say some sort of Northern Italian pasta meal. I haven't seen that movie for quite a long time. Of course, a classic Fellini film, probably... Criterion Collection, which there's a channel now which puts Turner Classic Movies and Criterion together. Tanaya, do you have any thoughts on Night at the Opera?
Well, I was just going to say with a Fellini film, you could serve a Negroni or a Campari and soda with lime, you know, before dinner. For a Night at the Opera, it seems like you would want some sort of just really luscious sherry drink. We have a sherry flip in the book. Otherwise, I'm trying to think of a some sort of dark and sensuous cocktail. There's nothing that's kind of coming to mind at the moment, but or one of the champagne cocktails we've mentioned, either the French 75, the champagne cocktail that has the sugar cube in the bottom of the glass. Or there's a really fun champagne cocktail called the Stratosphere, which it's a kind of light purple cocktail. You use champagne, you add just maybe about an ounce or so of creme de violette, which is a violet-flavored liqueur, really beautiful from France, a little bit of lemon peel, and then you drop a couple of cloves into the bottom of the glass. And it was known as the Thinking Woman's Cure Royale. So that, to me, seems like a perfect opera cocktail.
Thank you very much, Jim. Andre?
Two Nights at the Opera. There is an old classic drink. I think it's in the Waldorf book, which is gin and Dubonnet. Dubonnet can be a little hard to find. It's a French amortized wine, so it's sort of like a vermouth, except not. It's not fortified. It's got a kind of a vermouth-like flavor to it. It's fantastic with gin, so that could be a good combination for a Night at the Opera.
And you two sound fabulous, by the way. I just going to lift the veil a little bit. Our listeners might have been hearing some feedback throughout the hour, and it is gone in part. Who knew that if you were on separate phones, even somewhat near each other, that there would be feedback? But now,
yeah, sorry about that.
No, it's okay. It's all good, and you sound great. Let's go next to Anne in Green Bay. Hi, Anne.
Hello. Well, these would be my two suggestions. Any Star Wars movie would have to go with the Supreme Pizza and Cosmos.
Oh, funny.
Nice.
Cosmos for a drink. And then if you're watching a movie like Seabiscuit, you would have a ribeye steak with Kentucky bourbon mushroom sauce and a mint julep.
Nice.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, Seabiscuit. You have a lot of options there for good Kentucky cuisine and bourbon.
Yeah, and the mint julep. I remember, Andre, talking with you about the mint julep with one of your last books, and you convinced me that you can make them so they taste good, right?
Absolutely. I still have to stir you a mint julep. If I were in the studio, I probably would have brought julep mixing for you.
Yeah, that's another one that I'm going to have to try again, I'll have to say.
Well, if you like mint, it's mint and... like a mint milkshake, basically, without milk.
Yeah, without the milk, yeah. And a lot of really strong whiskey.
Right.
But it was, I'll try it again. Interesting, our caller brought up Star Wars, and I've been meaning to ask you this. It's, we're all very sad to know that Carrie Fisher, who played Princess Leia in Star Wars, died yesterday. She made a big impression on a lot of people for a lot of different reasons, but a lot of people might be thinking of watching those films in her memory. Let's just talk about food. Our caller suggested Supreme Pizza. Do you have any other thoughts on foods we might whip up for the Star Wars movies?
Absolutely. This was a tough year for losing actors and actresses. We also lost Zsa Zsa Gabor recently, who was in... the original Moulin Rouge, if anyone has seen that, it's fantastic. And she has an amazing cameo in that. And then we also lost Gene Wilder, was probably the other most famous actor that we lost, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which lots of great food options in that movie if people want to see that as well. For Star Wars, the visual puns seem to work the best. You could make, take a skewer of something and say that it's a lightsaber, put a string of grapes. Put a string of green grapes and a string of red grapes on skewers and have them be lightsabers. Otherwise, if you know the shape of the sort of fighter plane, the Empire used the TIE fighters with the sort of large square wings. You can make s'mores and have, Nutella and a marshmallow in the middle of two graham crackers and sort of create a visual pun there. I've seen sushi that's been rolled into the shape of an Ewok. So there's all sorts of options there, but the visual puns seem the best. I don't think we can quite find out what the amphibian is that Jabba the Hutt eats, which is one of the great food scenes in the movie.
Yeah, you reminded me. Yeah, we lost a lot of celebrities this year, and when you mentioned Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, I started thinking that there's got to be a really good cocktail with chocolate in it, isn't there?
There sure is. Actually, it's. Go ahead, Andre.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, we do the chocolate martini in Giant, which is a fantastic story. In theory, it's probably apocryphal, but in theory. Elizabeth Taylor and Rock Hudson created the chocolate martini while they were really bored in Marfa, Texas, which at the time there was nothing there. The shoot didn't start on time, and those two hit off a fantastic friendship. And the story was they had vodka, and all they could find to mix it was some Hershey syrup from the drugstore. So that was the birth of the chocolate martini.
Oh, very nice. Back to holidays. We might want to pull out Roman holiday sometime soon, and especially those of us who are Audrey Hepburn fans. Tanaya, what kind of food or drink should we pair with Roman holiday?
Oh, Roman holiday is such a beautiful film, especially if anybody's thinking of traveling to Italy this summer. It's a fun way to get a little taste of or vintage glimpse into the city. At one time, you see a lot of the sort of great city highlights there on the film. We paired that with an Aperol Spritz, which is just sort of a classic aperitif that you'll especially see in northern Italy. It's Aperol, which is a really wonderful aperitif. It's bright orange in color, and it has a little bit of a flavor of orange peel. And you mix that with Prosecco and some club soda. It's very simple, and it's also a low-proof cocktail, so for somebody who wants something a little bit lighter. It's a beautiful, beautiful drink and something that you might get on the piazza, so that's why we selected it. And then we did a really simple salad that's I think we called it sort of like a queen's cocktail or something, or sorry, a queen salad or something like that. We essentially took a hollowed out slices of cantaloupe. So they are sort of these rings of cantaloupe, and you make it just a very simple tossed salad in the center with some mozzarella balls and some chiffonaded basil and a little bit of crisped prosciutto. And so it's just if you're thinking of summer, this is a beautiful film to watch and then a nice meal to eat along with.
Yeah. What about if we're Audrey Hepburn fans and we pull out a Breakfast with Tiffany's, are we going to have some kind of breakfast?
Well, almost. We wanted to do some sort of boozy parfait was our original idea with that film. We felt that Holly Golightly is such a gregarious character and so whimsical. We wanted something that would just feel really festive and the sort of thing that you might even have at her apartment. So we went with a vintage French champagne drink called the Soyer au Champagne, which I think literally means like silken champagne. And it's champagne with a scoop. There are a few other things in it as well. But champagne with a big scoop of ice cream, and then you top it with berries, so strawberries and blueberries and things like that. And it's just this wonderful, frothy, creamy drink.
Wow. All right. Well, on a totally different note here, Pat in Genesee Depot suggests if you're watching Dr. Strangelove, you must serve something up with mushrooms to pay homage to the mushroom clouds you see at the end of the film.
Oh, too funny.
No, wait a minute. You didn't do Dr. Strangelove, right?
We did not.
Okay.
No.
And then we have Cynthia emailing, what would be a good drink food for the party with Peter Sellers? I don't know.
Oh, gosh, like a Pink Panther party of some sort?
That movie is so funny. I remember he goes in and classic Peter Sellers, he goes into a party and it's just his usual klutzy self. I thought there were Indian scenes in there. Where, lots of sitar playing, if I remember correctly. So probably some Indian curry and Peter Sellers, probably some, maybe a gin martini, probably back in those days. I think the party takes place in the 70s, if I'm not mistaken. So something like a...
Well, I'm in the mood for something a little, tropical, and you have a coconut milk punch in here to sip while watching Guys and Dolls. Andre, what... talk about coconut milk punch.
Well, this is such a fun movie and such a fun drink. Just to remind people, in Guys and Dolls, there's a bet where Guy Masterson, played by Brando, has a bet that he can't take this woman who's the head of something like the Holiday Ringer, the Christian Army, and have a bet that he can't get her to have dinner with him in Havana. So while most of the movie takes place in New York, there are these scenes where they go to Havana, and they go, and she says, "What is this? This is delicious." And she says, "Oh, it's milk punch." She doesn't know that there's alcohol in it, of course. So that is one of the things about this drink. It's so good that it's pretty easy to forget that there is alcohol in it. It's basically a cream with, it's kind of like a white Russian, except instead of coffee, it's just brandy and a little coconut. And what's hilarious in the movie is that then, these very two sort of stiff characters end up in this complete brawl in this Havana bar. And, of course, as so often in these movies, the drink scene is sort of the pivotal scene, and they fall in love. Right, so alcohol is used often in the scene to sort of change characters' perception of each other, change or of themselves, or to just fall in love or to make the plot continue. Yeah. So this is a really fantastic drink. You can drink it out of a coconut or a little, a little milk jug or whatever you'd like.
I wish we had more time. And less than 30 seconds. Tanaya, what final tip would you like to leave us with if we are considering throwing a movie-themed party?
Oh, well, pick up the book, and each of the entries for the 30 movies that we have has a scene-setting tip, so we give recommendations on how to do fun little tie-ins with the films, whether it's, breaking out your good china or serving something in a diner basket in a diner coffee cup, like with American Graffiti. So bottom line, we just hope people have a lot of fun with it.
I'm inspired, and thank you both very much for being with us, Andre and Tanaya Darlington, co-authors of Movie Night Menus. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.